If you guys would turn to Mark chapter 10, and I am really glad of the passage that was read earlier in John chapter 13, because we will actually, that is a passage that we will be turning to that. But I mention that because I want you to keep that in mind. I want you to keep that picture of Christ in mind as we look at some of these passages that we're going to turn to. So, if you're Mark chapter 10, if we would start in verse 35, we'll read the passage and review it afterwards. It says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye do that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with all shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. When the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So really quickly, let's just open up in a word of prayer. Lord, we just ask for your words to be spoken through me, that I would rely upon you. And Lord, I pray that you just speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, that we may gain this knowledge that you would have for us, that you would use this to help us to grow more Christ-like, help us to chase after you even more. And so, Lord, I just pray that you just bless this time underneath your word. In your name, amen. Okay, so the first thing I want to notice, this isn't the complete focus, but I want to notice the recipients, James and John. I want to notice that first, they were asking something of Christ, right? They were asking to sit on his right and left hand. And then further on, Jesus says, But sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And so I want to see that James and John were asking for a position. They were asking for, you might say, authority. Because that's what Christ rebukes them for, right? You shall not be like the Gentiles. But I also want to notice the other 10 disciples that are mentioned here. It says, and when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. And then in verse 42, it says, but Jesus called them to him. So not only is Jesus speaking to James and John, but now Jesus is speaking to all 12 of the disciples. So this isn't just a problem that only 2 of the disciples have. This is a problem that all 12 of the disciples have. And I would say we have, is pride, right? We like position. We like our authority. But Christ, he's saying, he's calling them away from this. He's calling them to be servants because, and he, at the very end of the passage, he comes to the example, right? For even the Son of Man being Christ himself, came not to be ministered unto, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And so I want to keep Christ in mind as we're going through these passages, and we'll see Christ in some of these examples, but recognizing what it means to be a servant, recognizing what it means to deny ourselves, deny our pride, and be a servant. Because this is what Christ is calling us to. If we want to turn to Philippians chapter 2. I may be turning to a lot of passages. I don't know how many passages you are used to turning to. But just to help get what I believe God wants to for us to grasp, I think turning to several passages will be very helpful. So if we start in verse 1, it says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So this is the mind that we are, that Christ is speaking to. So we are not, so being a servant isn't only in our action, isn't only in the things that we do, but it is in our hearts. It is in our minds. It says, "Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind, doing nothing through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. We esteem each other better than ourselves." So we look at somebody else's needs. We look at somebody else and recognize their needs and try to fulfill them. And we do that through having a mind and a heart of love. Because this is this again, going back to the example that we saw in Mark, that we saw in John chapter 13, but going back, and here again, we see this same example in Philippians chapter 2, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. This is God. This is God who came to be a man, to die on the cross for our sins, but he made himself to be of no reputation. No reputation. And took upon himself the form of a servant. The form of a servant. A servant does not receive a whole lot of glory. The servant does not receive a whole lot of honor. We know Christ does, because he is God. But being in the form of a servant, we do, a servant does menial tasks, hard labor, for, I would argue to say, not very much reward. And he became obedient, even unto death. He served God, even unto death. So, I want to look at, I want to look at the this aspect of love a little bit more. This love that Christ calls us to. And so if you guys are familiar at all with the famous love chapter of the Bible, you guys will know to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And starting in verse 1, it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, also known as love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil." On and on. This is love that, if we do not have love in the actions that we do, here it's saying that the actions that we do, if we do not have love, are equal or amount to nothing. So we may decide, so after hearing the past couple of passages, we may decide, okay, we're going to be a servant. We are going to look at somebody else's needs and try to fill them. We are going to be a servant. But that's not the heart, that's not the mind that we're actually to have. So we're not only to serve, but ultimately we are to have a heart behind it. We are to have a mind behind it. And that heart and mind is love. Because if we don't, again, it amounts to nothing. And where does this love come from? Okay, let's turn to another passage. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Pick up in verse 9. And it says, "As the Father hath loved me," this is Christ speaking, "so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And so, if we look at verse 9, we recognize, as Christ is speaking, that this love originates from the Father, who is the Father, God. Because as the Father hath loved me, Christ speaking, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love, or that same love. And in going on into verse 10, we know how to continue on in that love. We know how to abide in Christ's love. It says, I get things best if I just read the passage. So I apologize if I just keep reading the passage, but I really enjoy doing so. "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So obedience. And then we see another example. In verse 13, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Who is this speaking of? Christ. He has had the greatest love that he has laid down his life for us. This is the love that he is calling us to. You know, sometimes we think, I don't know, maybe Christ's love is unattainable because it is only a love that Christ can give. But here it says we can. We can have the same love. We can love others. We can love God with this same love. And this same love as Christ calls us to, a love that would die on the cross for our sins, can we not also give the same love towards one another as we deny ourselves, deny myself, and pursue them? Even as Christ, as just before the cross, he says, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. And so we see that obedience that Christ had towards God. And so this is how we can love, by being obedient to Christ. And how are we able to be obedient? We are able to be obedient by reading his word. The instruction is here. The instruction he has given us to know how to abide in his love, to know how to love others just as he has loved us. I mean, if I try to use this as an example, I don't know how well of an example it is because, well, I'm not a parent yet, but the example is this. You ask maybe your child to go take out the trash, and the child, you know, maybe an attitude of, oh, fine, I'll go do this, with a really grumpy attitude. I really don't want to, because you can see it in his action. He does not want to, but he does it anyway. Versus a child that you ask to go take out the trash, and he has a happy heart. He wants to serve you. He shows that love towards you by having a good attitude and wanting to do that. He wants to please you. And so what is Christ looking for? An obedience out of, oh, fine, I'll do this. Or an obedience of, okay, Lord, I want to serve you. This is the type of obedience that Christ is looking for. So do not be deceived, if you will, in thinking that God is only looking for the result or the action, but he is looking at our hearts. I think let's go just over there to John chapter 13 and look at just the example that was read just at the beginning here. Okay, so let's start in, since we read the passage was read, let's start in verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I think sometimes we think, looking at the examples of Christ that we have already, sometimes we think, oh, You know, it would be easy to give your life for a whole bunch of people. So I think sometimes we think that. I've thought that. But then I look at Christ's example in this situation. Christ didn't just serve in this big way for all of us this one time, but in his life here, he took on the form of a servant. He became the lowest of the low. He became low and served. He washed our feet, their feet. I don't know if you have heard much preaching on this, but I have heard that the washing of the feet was set aside for, if you will, the lowest of the low, the female. And sometimes, you know, we as men think that way. Oh, that's a woman's job. And that's not for us to do. But Christ took on that role. He humbled himself. He says, I am a servant, and I will serve you. And in doing so, he is calling the disciples to this very thing. You call me master, and so I am. And if I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. I know that's not our culture. I know this isn't exactly what God is calling us to do. You know, stop in the middle of service and say, okay, we're going to practice serving each other and get out a bowl and of water and wash each other's feet. It might be nice, but no, this is the example that Christ has given to us. So in our culture, maybe it's washing the dishes. I don't know. But we are to take on the form of a servant. And I would encourage you guys to guard our hearts against a bitterness. Against a bitterness in serving. To serve in love. That is what we are called to do. And this says, truly, truly, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And going back to just Mark chapter 10, really quickly, before we close, just reminding ourselves again through Christ's words. Starting in verse 42, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. In our culture, maybe that's our bosses. Maybe that's our overseers that, well, they probably don't know the Lord. And so they seek position, they seek this ruling authority. And so they exercise that. But in 43, but so shall it not be among you. Don't let that be your example. Let Christ be our example for what we ought to follow, for what we ought to do. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. If I am to be great among you, I am going to be serving you. I'm going to be putting myself below you, having your needs before mine. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. And again, our last reminder before we close, 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Our example being Christ. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for just this time that you have showed us, just from your word, as I think we need to seek to be servants. Sometimes, oft times, most times, we are all about ourselves. We want what we want, and nothing else matters. Lord, I pray that you would help us with this struggle, as we are always battling, struggling with our flesh, with this world. But Lord, I pray that you would just be victorious in our life, as we ultimately want to serve you with our life, and in doing so, that we may become a servant of those around us. Lord, thank you again, just simply for this opportunity to share your word, and just for you to even just speak to my heart, because this is something that I need. In your name, amen.